each other or something. Yeah. Good morning. It's good to be here. And I just love the amount of minions that are around. A couple weeks ago when I was here with my little and sitting back in the chaos zone and all the chaos happening around us, and just brings my heart joy of new life and acceptance of different and acceptance of noise. I love it. Brings me joy. As we come into our sermon today, I want to pray, but instead of me praying, I asked Mark if he would sing and lead us again in Spirit of the Living God. And instead of fall afresh on me, I want it to be fall afresh on us, mold us, meld us. So will you come up and lead us in that as our prayer this morning, coming into the sermon? Amen. May we receive that as our prayer as we enter into hearing a word from God. So the title of today's sermon is, What About the Holy Spirit? We've been looking at the roots of the Anabaptist faith throughout this fall. I was here a few weeks ago and Eric was talking about simplicity as one of the roots. And there's been a handful of others that he has looked at over the last few weeks. And we come to a place where we ask the question, well, what about the Holy Spirit? Growing up in the United Methodist Church, I learned of our experience with God as a quadrilateral, as like a stool with four legs. We talked about experience, reason, tradition, and scripture. We didn't really talk about the Holy Spirit. As a Presbyterian ordained theologian, it was sola scriptura. Only scripture, center of everything. Focus on scripture as the reality of truth. Being a person who at times just needs to go check out the evangelical world and have a little more Jesus in it, it's all Jesus all the time. It's Christ, 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 right? And we find ourselves asking the question, well, what about the Holy Spirit? Is the Holy Spirit just a thing over here that we sometimes acknowledge, sometimes experience? Or is there a centric importance to the Holy Spirit? I had the pleasure on Friday of going and cheering Avery Potter on in the sectionals cross-country meet. If you don't know, she got fourth with a time of 13:05, this close to breaking 13 for 2 mile. As an eighth grader, it's pretty awesome. But we went out to pizza afterward. And I asked Avery, who, in her eighth grade wisdom, always has all the right answers. And I said, Avery, tell me about the Holy Spirit. And Miley started to laugh. She goes, well, do you know what Avery used to call the Holy Spirit? I said, what? She goes, well, when she was a kid, she would start her prayer, Jesus, thank you for, and just rattle off all of these people. And she would get to the end of her prayer and she would say, in Spanish, in the Hairy Spirit. Gotta put it in there, but we don't always know much about it, right? However, there's something interesting I've learned as I've studied the Anabaptist tradition, is that the Holy Spirit has been at the center of Anabaptist movement for a very long time, since the really roots and beginning of the Anabaptist movement. Historian Peter Clason observes that throughout the early Anabaptist movement, there was a profound conviction that the Holy Spirit was at the center of the Christian experience. The work of the Holy Spirit enabled the followers of Christ to rise above legalism to the transforming life of joyful obedience. And I want to hold that as the center of what we look at when we think about what about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is what enables us as followers of Jesus to rise above legalism, to rise above tradition, to rise above experience, to rise above reason, to a transforming life of joyful obedience. In our passage today, we see the Holy Spirit as an advocate. Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit as the advocate. He talks about the Holy Spirit as a convictor, and he talks about the Holy Spirit as a director. And through the advocacy, conviction, and direction of the Holy Spirit, we rise above a "this is what I should do" and enter into "this is what I can do," a life of freedom versus a life of bondage. So what is an advocate? An advocate, if you look at the definition, is somebody who is all about your rights. They are all about the rights of the person they are advocating for. They are a third party that steps in that space when you need someone to speak for you. So as a chaplain at the hospital, I often will advocate for patients. I will go and I'll talk to the doctor and say, "Hey, I had a conversation with this patient," or "I had a conversation with this patient's family. And they're confused, they're concerned, they're wondering, they don't feel like they're being heard. Can you go into the room and work with them?" I step in as a third party to bind that gap. The Holy Spirit, as an advocate, steps in for us. He steps in and stands in the gap, connects us to the Father, holds us in the power of Jesus' death and resurrection, speaks to us and through us and for us as a people who often don't get things right. The early Anabaptists understood this because of the opposition and persecution that they faced. In the face of opposition, in the face of persecution, they depended on the Holy Spirit to step in and be the one who stood there with them and gave them the strength and the power to persevere, to not surrender, to not give in. The Holy Spirit, for early Anabaptists, was what kept them going because it was a driver in the hope that there's a future in life and death. Today, where do you need advocacy? Where in your life do you feel a distance between you and God? Where do you feel weakness, exhaustion, a desire to hold control and drive the car yourself? Where is God, through the Holy Spirit, inviting you to let go? Let him step in. Let him lead. Jesus says he sends the advocate, the one that comes before and comes with. Do we trust that advocate? Or do we desire to hold control? To stand in legalism in our freedom as Americans, as a people who want to lead and grip? Or are we willing to let somebody step in for us, to advocate for us, to live in freedom with open hands? Sometimes it takes some conviction. It takes a little calling out. It takes some accountability to realize we need that. And that's what Jesus is talking about in John 16:8-10. So he says he's going to send the advocate, and then he says, and when he comes, he will prove the world wrong. He's going to prove us wrong. Good. Because I look around right now, and we need to be proven wrong. We need to know that we are not in control, and when we are in control, it's a mess. He will prove the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. He is going to set us straight. That we are all sinners, all of us fall short of the glory of God, that our righteousness comes solely through Jesus Christ, that our judgment that we hold against others, against them, is judgment that we are then putting back on ourselves. The conviction of the Holy Spirit comes when we are open to having an advocate. Accepting the Holy Spirit begins with desire and then is followed by repentance. Because if you're sitting in a pew on a Sunday morning, Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, with no desire to encounter God, guess what? You're not going to. You're going to continue to be in control, going to continue to have a hard time in relationship, going to continue to be frustrated with anything and everything. But when we're in a space of a desire to encounter God, open to hearing the conviction that we are sinful, open to hearing the reality that we are judgmental, open to hearing the reality that we have no righteousness outside of Christ, that desire to experience God anew opens a door to accepting the Holy Spirit. And then we're invited to repent of those ways that we fall short, to repent of those ways that we struggle to let go of control, of those ways that we desire to live in legalism, in the shoulds and the musts, and the if I don't, there'll be punishment. Confession leads to freedom. And when we confess and are convicted of our sin, then we're open to a new direction by the one who directs, and that is the Holy Spirit. In the book that Eric's been using to kind of shape this whole thing, the author says the balance between reason and revelation brings insight, courage, and effective witness. That when we encounter the Holy Spirit, when we experience revelation through the Holy Spirit, when we allow ourselves to find a balance between my own reason and my own understanding and my experience with God, I find insight, courage, and effective witness. When I allow the Holy Spirit to direct me, I become a vessel of His. I start to experience life in a different way. There's this really interesting image that you probably can't see, and I apologize. I should have done a slide, but I didn't get home until midnight last night, so alas, there's no slide. But there's an interesting image of the Holy Spirit in the middle. And around it is Jesus, the center of our faith, community, the center of our life, and reconciliation, the center of our work. When the advocate stands in the middle, convicting of us of our sin, it drives us into right relationship with Christ, with others and the world. It drives us into a relationship deeper in ourselves, deeper with others, and deeper knowledge and understanding of who we are and whose we are in all we do. A joyful freedom that we don't experience when we hold control. Menno Simon, the founding father of the Mennonite movement, I believe, says, "It is the work of the Holy Spirit that frees us from sin, gives us boldness, and makes us cheerful, peaceful, pious, and holy. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we are released from our shoulds, our legalism, our checklists, our I must do's, and we are brought into a life where we have someone who is for us. We have someone who holds us accountable and who leads us in a new direction. That is life-giving, that is filling, and that is a witness to the world around us." Brothers and sisters, in this space, we are invited to open our hearts, to open our lives, to open our minds to the desire of receiving the Holy Spirit. Something that feels really uncomfortable in a traditional church, and yet is essential in order to encounter the freedom and the grace and the truth of a God who so strongly wants to transform our lives that we may be a witness to him and others may experience and encounter him in all we do. I invite us in this moment of silence to just examine where we are, what's in our heart, to confess those things that maybe are holding us back, and to accept the Spirit for as our advocate, our convictor, and our director. Let's take a moment of silence in prayer. Holy Spirit, fall afresh on us. Lead us. Fill us. Mold us. Use us. You are the one, O God, who stands in when we have no words. You are the one who opens doors. You are the one who is for us, is in us, and lives through us. Fall afresh on us. Convict us. Give us desire. Direct us. Lead us to be a people who release control and enter into your joyful freedom. As our ancestors in the early Anabaptist movement knew that you, and only through you, O Holy Spirit, was joyful, transformative life found. Give us, through your power, the ability to be people who are open, who are ready, and who respond. And Lord, we pray for our brothers and sisters in this space right now, that your Spirit be upon us, that we encounter you in new ways, and that as life transformation begins to happen, that we may be for and with one another as you are for and with us. We love you, we praise you, and we give you all the glory, and all God's children said, amen.